And now, the continuing adventures of Superhero Speak, episode 23.
Hey everyone, real quick, there is now a new podcast on the block, and that is the sister podcast to this, Agents of Speak. And what that is Ben and I sitting down with our new co-host Scott every week, every watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we'll talk about the episode, record it, and post it immediately. So, if you haven't watched the show yet, don't listen to that podcast because there probably will be spoilers in it. But we will be doing this throughout the entire run of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so listen to that and hope you enjoy. This week is me and Michael Whitehead, who is the CEO and founder of an organization known as Comics for Kids. It's a great organization, and what they do is encourage reading by giving comics to underprivileged children. I think it's a really great cause, and everyone should check them out. Send them comics in support. So this was a great conversation. We talked about the organization and, of course, both of our love for comic books. So sit back, enjoy, and here we go. Hey, everyone. You're listening to Superhero Speak. And this week, I have a guest with me. Remember when you were a kid and you fell in love with comics and it helped you learn to love to read? Well, our guest this week believes that's an important lesson to pass on to all children. So he has founded an organization known as Comics for Kids. Everyone, welcome Michael Whitehead to the show.
How you doing, Dave?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic.
So, for our listeners, for those who aren't familiar with your foundation, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
I'd love to. I founded Comics for Kids. This coming April will be 3 years, so a little over 2 years ago. I just felt there was a huge need in my local community. There's absolutely no places within nearly 40-mile radius of my home to buy a comic book.
Wow.
And when I was growing up, there were probably over 100, 150 places.
Mm-hmm.
And now children just really don't have that avenue. That I don't know your age, but I'm 37 years old. So
I have 2 years on you.
Okay. Cool. So you were born in the 70s too then?
Yes.
I really don't know where to go from here. What else would you like for me to tell you?
Well, you know, no, I mean, I totally understand what you're saying. I mean, when we grew up, you know, you could definitely get comic books in all the drugstores, and then late 80s, early 90s, the comic book boom happened, and there were comic book stores on almost every corner. You know, there's like one in my neighborhood still, and then that's it when there was, you know, a ton when I was a kid. But, you know, like I said in the intro, is, you know, that's how I learned to love to read. You know, as a kid, I that was my escapism, was into comic books, you know, and that's how I learned to love to read. And then, you know, I started reading other things after that, Lord of the Rings and so forth. But yeah, so when did you first start reading comics?
Well, the first comics that I ever received didn't even have covers on them. Mm-hmm. My mother started working at a 7-Eleven. I know you're familiar with what those are.
Yeah.
I was talking to a gentleman last week. He was from England, and apparently they don't have those there because he had no idea what I was talking about. But what they would do, this company would come in every week, and they would take the comic books that didn't sell, and they would rip the covers off of them.
Okay.
And those comic books, they would just usually give to anybody that wanted them. The only thing was they had to send the covers back to get credit for them.
Right.
So this guy started giving them to my mom, and it was kind of cool because some of the comic books that I loved as a kid, I had no idea what the cover to the actual comic book looked like to I got older and could look it up on the internet and see what the cover to the book looked like. But those right. those were the first comic books that I ever remember getting. Then I started going, you know, with my mom and stuff to the store. And they had them at all the local grocery stores, the drugstore, just basically anywhere you would go. They even had them at a local Walmart. So most of the time I would just hang out there at the spinner rack while my mom did her shopping. And if I was, you know, good that week, I'd get a couple books.
Yeah. It's funny. I actually didn't start off getting them, the ripped covers, but a lot of I've heard a lot of stories about that. I didn't even know that was a thing until probably I was listening to, I think, Fat Man on Batman, Kevin Smith's comic book podcast that he does.
Very familiar with it. Love it.
Yes, yes. And I think he was talking to, it may have been, it wasn't Jeff Loeb. It was an artist. Maybe it was Jim Lee. I don't remember, but they were saying that's how they got their first comics as well. They would get the ones with the covers that were ripped off, and they would have boxes of them at home. And it was Greg Capullo, who was the artist on Court of Owls.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, great. But that's the thing. You know, like he said the same thing. He had no idea what these covers looked like until. You know, he got older and was able to look them up. It's interesting because I'm curious about that. Do comic stores, comic shops still do that today?
I don't think so. I think now, well, I know DC with the new 52 had a thing where you could copies that you didn't sell, you could send back for credit. But okay. I think now with the whole Diamond distribution system, if you buy it, it's yours, and that's.
Okay.
I think they're that's how they make their money. I'm not really. I worked at a comic shop in the 90s, but I'm really clueless about how everything works now. That you have to go through a middleman to get your books.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure how that works, you know, especially in the comic industry. But you're probably right. I'm sure at one point they changed the distribution model to say, you know, once you have them, they're yours. Because also the concept of, you know, having back issues and reselling them didn't really become popular until comic book shops took off.
Right.
In the 70s and early 80s, it was still drugstores and, you know, if they could get the money back for the book, yeah, they send it back. That makes sense. How do you get your hands on books that you send to kids?
Well, the absolute best way that I have found to get in touch with like-minded people that want to help kids to read has been Twitter. Twitter has just been phenomenal for helping us get our word out about what we're trying to do. Twitter, right now we're, I guess, around 2,400, something like that, followers. Mm-hmm. I get on there and post, you know, I'm looking for, if you have any books that you wish to donate, condition does not matter. That's our main source of donations. We have a website, which mm-hmm. is thecomicsforkids.org. Comics for Kids on everything was taken, so I put the word "the" in front of it. THE Comics for Kids.
Right.
But that's our main way. Facebook is good. It's just that most people, I don't know, Facebook has kind of drifted in the last 6 months to a year for any of the support that we've got. We're hovering around 1,000 likes on there, so mm-hmm. that's basically, and I think every person that likes us also follows us on Twitter, so basically Twitter is the best way for us to be able to get donations.
Yeah, I wish someone would explain how social media works to me, because, I noticed that too, like, and I had put a post on our Facebook page, you know, like, check out Comics for Kids, help, you know, give them likes, help them reach 1,000 likes. And, you know, I think maybe one or two people jumped on it. But, you know, I have quite a few friends that I've made through my working at comic book conventions and whatnot. And it feels like I can't even get them to listen to my podcast. You know, I mean, we have listeners. We definitely have an audience. I check the numbers every week, and you know, we have a steady flow of downloads. But then I ask my friends, and I get one or two that are like, "Oh, I've listened to this episode or that episode." Yeah, I mean, I guess it's weird too because we're friends. You know, it's not
right. Like, right.
It's not. I'm not Kevin Smith. So
Kevin Smith he's amazing. I do this little contest, I don't know, about once or twice a month. I change the action figures on my desk.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll post, you know, like, if you can name the action figure on my desk, I'll mail it to you and it's yours. And, I, you know, because I'll have the most random things you've ever seen on my desk.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody could guess what this action figure was. So I posted a photo. And I don't know if you've ever seen Clerks. Have you seen Clerks 2?
Yes.
Well, I posted, it was a GoBot. I don't know if you're familiar with what a GoBot is,
yes.
But I put the leader of the evil GoBots, which was this robot that could transform into a motorcycle, and his name was Psykill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I posted the photo, and this guy come in, had no clue what it was. He goes, "What's this supposed to be, some type of transformer?" And I quoted the quote from Clerks 2. Actually, it's a GoBot who was more like the Kmart of Transformers. Kevin Smith saw it and liked it, and I attached another thing below there, and I ended up getting about 40 or 50 retweets just off that night, and ended up getting about 50 followers from just that. So Kevin Smith, he's liked several things that I've said on there, because I always give a shout out to Fat Man on Batman, because it's one of my favorite podcasts that I listen to. But yeah. Social media is just wonderful. You just have to interact with your audience. That's the killer thing, is you just can't post. What I've had to learn the hard way is you just can't post links back to your website. You actually have to interact with the people.
Yeah, that's true. I guess a little bit, you know, tell us a little bit more about yourself. So, you know, you've been reading comics, obviously, for a long time. Who, Marvel or DC?
Both. I've never been one to like one more than the other. I've always loved, I love anything from the comic book medium. I never have understood, you know, some people it's like, well, I hate Marvel. And I have friends that way, you know, they hate Marvel and then other people hate DC. I just love it all. I'm not as well read as some people. I used to consider myself to be a comic book expert until I got on social media and started listening to podcasts, and I realized that I don't know that much. I thought I did, but some of these people are just, their knowledge of comic books just blows my mind. But right now, I'm reading mostly Marvel, Superior Spider-Man, Avengers. Of course, Walking Dead. One thing I have learned about podcasting is the fastest way to get your audience to turn off is to start talking about Walking Dead, because they do not want to get spoiled.
This
so,
is true.
So I one thing I can promise, I will never do spoilers.
Oh, we yeah, that's part of our problem is when we talk about a movie, we let the spoilers fly.
I think movies are fair game. If people really want to see a movie, they'll get up and go. But so many people wait for the trade on Walking Dead.
Yeah,
so that has a lot to do with it, I think.
Our most downloaded episode actually is our Man of Steel review, and you know, we did it. No, that was Iron Man. No, yeah, but I mean we. Basically debate it for an hour because Ben, my one co-host, really enjoyed the movie, and I, you know, I didn't really care for it, and you know, but like, yeah, there's tons and tons of spoilers in that one, if you know, but I mean, by the time we posted it, it was a week after it had been out. We kind of figured it's safe at that point, you know. And
I think as long as you let your audience know, you know,
right. Yeah, exactly.
I will. As long as you let everybody know, there shouldn't be a problem.
So did you see Man of Steel?
Absolutely. I loved it. I seldom don't like most comic book movies, but Superman, I just loved it. You know, I could pick it apart, you know, just like anybody else can, but it, just the kid in me, I just loved it.
Well,
absolutely loved it.
Well, that's one opinion.
Have you listened to Kevin Smith and his friend talk about it? Kevin loved it, and another guy hated it. I thought that was could get more opposite viewpoints.
Yeah, me and Ralph Garman share some of the same views on it.
I felt the same way. It's just I just love Superman. He's always been my favorite, and probably always will be. And I really thought. What's his name? Cavill? Henry Cavill, is that his name? I thought he did a wonderful job, and I've always loved Amy Adams. I love the Krypton beginning. I could have watched a whole film about Krypton, and I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely agree that Amy Adams was a wonderful Lois Lane. And it's funny, because I think the biggest issue... most people had with the movie was killing Zod. And, you know, it's funny because my brother and I had this argument because he just hated the movie, and that was the main reason. And they said, but Ed, he killed him in Superman 2. He's like, no, he didn't. He banished him. I'm like, he took his powers away, crushed his hand, and threw him off a cliff.
A lot of people, it's all about how you, it was just more, you know, it shocked me. When I saw that scene, I did not expect, unlike most people, I do not watch movie trailers. So when I go into a film, I have no clue.
Right.
When I went into The Dark Knight, I had no idea that Heath Ledger was even playing the Joker. Oh. I didn't even know what he looked like. And that is such a great way to enjoy films. I try to get more people to do it because here lately they just show the best parts on the trailers. So when you go into there, you basically know what's going to happen before it happens most of the time. Oh, and right. it is just wonderful. The last trailer to a film I watched was Watchmen, before The Dark Knight, but I always close my eyes when trailers come on.
It's funny because, that sentiment is the exact reason why I enjoyed the Iron Man 3 movie so much. Because, yes, I did see all the trailers and I watched all the footage they released beforehand, but Marvel did such a great job of hiding the fact that the Mandarin wasn't what we were expecting him to be.
That totally shocked me. That really caught me off guard, too.
Right, so when you take that left turn while you're watching the movie, it's like, part of it's like, ooh, really? But then it's like, oh, wow, I enjoyed that because you actually surprised me in a movie. You know, I thought I knew something coming in, and I actually didn't, you know. So, right, it's, you know, people need to learn to just sit back and enjoy movies, I think.
That's what I listen. I don't know if you listen to a podcast, 11 O'Clock Comics. Do you ever listen to them?
No.
It's a really good podcast. I hated the first Wolverine movie until I heard they interviewed Scotty Young, the comic artist, the guy that did The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
Comic. They interviewed him coming out of it, and he was just ecstatic. And he was like, man, it was the most awesome thing I've ever saw. You know, and I hated that movie. And one of the reasons that I hated it was because I knew basically everything that was going to happen in it before it happened. And that's one of the things that got me to go totally without seeing trailers before I see it, because it's hard to be surprised when you know what's going to happen.
Right.
But saying that, I did not like the Wolverine, the new one, Wolverine 2. I watched it Friday night, and I wasn't that pleased with it.
I actually haven't seen it yet. Ben has seen it, and... he said it was decent, but it was funny because he said, but he didn't go into the movie with high hopes.
I did not either. There was a lot of, I won't spoil anything for you. It has a lot of really good points. It's just, it has a lot of talking. And I could care less about hearing Logan talk. I want to see Logan cut stuff up.
Yeah, and it's, I think the other issue is, and we talked about this, I think in our last episode that was posted. It's dealing with Wolverine in Japan, and there's a lot of characters in there that people don't know, and there's a lot of actors in there people don't know. So, you know, I think that makes it a little more difficult too. You know, in the sense of like, you know, you see, you know, like in Avengers, you know, Iron Man and Thor and Captain America, everyone's invested deeply in those characters by the time that movie comes along. You know, then you sit there and it's like you had a disappointing Wolverine movie with what they did to Deadpool.
Oh, I hated that.
Yeah, exactly. And now let's throw in, give you a Wolverine movie and, you know, Silver Samurai and a bunch of other characters you have no idea who they are, and enjoy it. Yeah. It's sad. I think it might be the, you know, after Days of Future Past, it's probably going to be it for that school, I think, of X-Men movies.
I would love to see a Hugh Jackman Wolverine versus a Hulk movie. That would be, and just have them fight for like 45 minutes, like in Man of Steel. Just have them throw down for about 45 minutes. And to me, that would just be, oh, I can't. That one of my favorite comics of all time was the What If Wolverine. Of course, I never had a copy of Hulk 181 or 182. Mm-hmm. So my first introduction to Wolverine was the What If comic. I believe it came out in 81 or 82, where What If Wolverine had killed the Hulk.
Okay.
And that was like my first comic that I can remember buying myself. And that, I've always loved those two characters going at it. That's a movie that I hope one day.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because, and those two characters, it makes sense, you know, because of their, you know, the Hulk is the Hulk, and Wolverine is just an aggressive personality, and so if they get into a fight, it's going to last a long time.
Oh, yeah.
But
absolutely.
But what I find interesting is the mindset of a lot of people where they want to put two heroes in a movie and everyone wants to see them fight. You know, like everyone's talking about the, you know, Man of Steel 2. They, yeah, I don't know if you heard the news out of Comic-Con, but they're going to have Batman in that one.
And I did hear that.
Yeah, that's how they're going to bring Batman into this universe so that they can lead up to a Justice League movie. And you know, I agree with that. I mean, it's a good way to fast track them. We don't need another Batman origin movie. But all the buzz on the internet is, oh, they should fight. It's like, why do you want them to fight?
I guess it's everybody wants to see that fight from The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah,
that's probably what most people. I know I would love to see that on screen. I'd love to see that whole movie on screen, but. Who knows if they'll ever get around to doing stuff like that. What, one thing I come to learn is comic books are not made for me anymore. Comic books are made for teenage boys and teenage girls. So I just try to pick the moments in them that I know that are aimed directly at me and to just love those, because I know they're not making movies for us anymore.
No, that's true. That's very true. Yeah, it's funny because I had I've told this story before to lots of people. I had gotten out of collecting, you know, probably, you know, 26 is when I really stopped. Like, you know, oh, I can't buy these anymore. And then it was when Civil War came out from Marvel.
Right.
Like that sucked me back in, and I was at the comic book shop every week again. You know, buying the latest issues and everything. And I think it was maybe halfway through World War Hulk, and I'm like, wow, like, I can't do this. This is a lot to keep up on. But like you just said, you know, some of it is too, some of it's geared towards younger readers as well. And it's like, how do young kids do this. I mean, I know I did it, but I don't remember doing it this intently. You know, like I would follow Spider-Man, you know, and then Batman, and like if I saw a cover I liked, maybe I would buy that issue. But the only I'd only buy the two comics religiously. So it's like, how does a kid now do these big crossovers where it's like, oh, you need this Spider-Man and this Captain America and this Avengers, you know, to get the full story of what's going on in Civil War? Like, how do kids do that? You know, it's tough.
I don't think they do.
Right.
Everything now is aimed for the trade. It's basically where I think the book market is where they're making the vast majority of their money now. And I'm not a comic book insider, and I don't know what the numbers are, but I know trades. People buy a lot of trades, and when I go to the comic book store, when I go to bookstores, the comic book rack, the comic book section is like nobody's there, but there's always people in the comic book hardcover and trade section sitting in the floor, you know, just because you can get a whole story, you know, right there. And most comics, you know, are like $4. And and you can go and like, I don't know where you live, but I'm in Mississippi, and the closest Books A Million is like an hour from me. But they have a pretty good selection of trades from $5 to $10. Mm-hmm. And you know, most of those, you know, are 4 to 5 issues story arcs. So, I mean, I think trades are bang for your buck. It's a really good way to go.
No, that's true. I mean, and I have bought a couple trades since I, you know, got out of collecting again, just because the stories I've heard about and I want to read, but I don't want to go track down all the issues, you know. Like, I had never read The Long Halloween when it first came out. And so I picked that up because I'd heard a lot about, The Dark Knight was going to be based on that. So I bought that right before The Dark Knight came out and read it. And
I just read that for the first time 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
I did, and it was amazing. I have never been that big of a Batman fan. I mean, I love the movies, but I just never really got into the whole detective part of it. I'm more of I like them, you know, like Spider-Man, Wolverine, you know, wham, bam, go in there and shoot him up. You know, Batman, you know, he's not really like that. He's the, you know, he's the detective.
Right.
And that story just blew me away. Jeff Loeb was talking about it, and, you know, I had no idea. Kevin Smith, I know we keep talking about him. He should give us a shout-out for all the talking we're doing about him. But, you know, Jeff Loeb was like, Kevin Smith asked him, did he get a check for The Dark Knight? You know, and they were joking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I wonder why. And after I read The Long Halloween, you know, it's obvious. I mean, that's
right.
The scenes taken directly from that book.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's you know, and it's funny because, you know, people, obviously there's stigma around comic books and whatnot. But, I mean, just alone, it's a very well-written piece of fiction. You know, even if you took it out of the Batman world, you know, you can write it's just proof you can write a great story. And it doesn't depend if it's in the comic books or in a novel, you know. And like you said, it's a lot based on his detective abilities. And it was, I felt it, you know, it kept me guessing at a lot of different points, you know.
I had no idea who the killer was. Right. I had no clue.
It was definitely, you know, it was a well-written detective story. You know, if you can't figure it out before you get to the end, then it's like, it's a good story, you know. And, so, I mean, it's just, you know, it's stories like that is, again, why I love comic books, you know. Speaking about reading comics again, so you said that, you know, people donate comics to you directly, or they can make donations to help you get them.
We have a PayPal set up.
Yeah.
For people who would like to donate that way, and it's The Comics for Kids, and the four is forthecomicsforkids@gmail.com. that's what our PayPal is.
Right. What I was going to ask is, and then how do you who are you distributing them to? And like, do you have any success stories? Have any kids come up and, you know, send anything to you after they've gotten some comics from you?
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked that because I'm very new to doing stuff like this, so I get sidetracked a lot, especially talking about comics.
Well, it's easy, especially,
it's,
you know.
Very easy. The first thing that I did is I just, you know, just basically just started giving kids that I knew don't have. I don't know if you're familiar with the state of Mississippi, but we are the absolute poorest state out of all 50. Mm-hmm. I would say the last census that I checked out, roughly 60% of our state lives below the poverty level. Probably, I think it was over half our population does not have internet. Most of them don't have cell phones. So when I talk about giving books to kids, I'm giving books to children that don't have internet access. They don't have video games.
Right.
They don't have things that most children, you know, just take for granted. So during the summer, children in the poorer states, you know, comic books might be the only form of entertainment that they have that's able to keep them out of trouble, that's able to keep their minds going. And I mean, it's just, it you know, when they say reading is fundamental, if it hadn't have been for comic books, there is no telling how much trouble I would have gotten into as a teenager. Yeah. I think one of the reasons that I founded Comics for Kids is I got to thinking back to a lot of my high school friends, and every person that I used to be friends with that reads comics is a highly functional, I don't know the best way to say this, but they are an asset to society. They are people that, you know, have families, have jobs, that, yeah, productive
yeah.
Society. There we go. Productive members of society. And I think back to a lot of my friends that made fun of me for reading comic books, who, you know, used to pick on me for stuff like that. And a lot of those people are not. And, you know, and that's not saying that kids that read comics are better than anybody else. It's just kids that read comics have better imaginations. They're not as easily bored. They're not susceptible to a lot of the things that are out there. I know I'm 37 years old. I have never had a drink of alcohol. I have never done any type of drug. I've never smoked a cigarette. And not saying that people do those things that are wrong, but growing up, I read comic books from the 70s and 60s, and a lot of those comic books had moral lessons that they taught children. They taught us that we didn't have to. Spider-Man always said don't do drugs. He punched people who sold drugs right in the face. And that's just the way that comics helped me. I didn't have someone in my life telling me, you don't need to do this, you don't need to do that. I had, well, I'm not saying my parents were bad or anything like that, but that, you know, they just didn't tell me stuff like that because I already knew not to do that from the stuff that I watched. I remember watching the Super Friends, and these two kids were smoking, I think it was dope. I guess it was marijuana. They were passing it back and forth, and Superman flew out of the sky and took it away from them and threw it down and like melted it with his heat vision. And he pointed his finger right at the screen. And he's like, only fools do drugs. And that just stuck with me.
Right.
And I try to get, you know, comics today, they don't really teach moral lessons and stuff. But, you know, if you can put a book into a child's hand and they'll read it, you're doing good. Because kids, they just don't read like they used to. There's just so much other things out there that grabs their attention. And I just try to put as many books into kids' hands as I possibly can.
Yeah.
So far, we've given away over 3,000 comics.
Ah, cool. Yeah.
One of the I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No,
you asked a success story.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a little video that I post to Twitter all the time of a young man who I met last summer. I interviewed him, and he talked. He was so, it was like talking to an adult. He was just sharp. He emailed, well, his actually, he wrote me a letter wanting to know could he get more X-Force comic books. And when I'm not talking the new X-Force, I'm talking the X-Force from the 90s that I used to read when I was a teenager.
Right.
I sent that to Rob Liefeld, and he thought that that was just awesome. I got a little video of the kid saying Rob Liefeld is the bomb, and he thought that was pretty cool. But what I do with children like that, as long as they continue some type of dialogue with me, if they will mail me something and let me know that they're reading the books, I'll continue to send comics to the kids as long as they request them.
Cool. That's great. It's funny because, I'm, now that I'm an adult, quote unquote, and I have kids of my own, I definitely see that there's so much more stimulus than there was when we were a kid, because I was talking about this to someone the other day where, when we were kids, you had, three TV stations and, the cartoons were on at 3 o'clock in the 3 to 5 in the afternoon and then a couple on Saturday morning. And that was it. So you had to watch, your G.I. Joe and your Transformers cartoons in the afternoon, and then maybe had Spider-Man on Saturday morning. And now it's like, we have cable, we have, the Cartoon Network and the Nickelodeon channels, and it's like, so there's always something on for the kids to watch, Plus, there's video games and there's all this other interactive stimulus that it's hard to get a kid to sit down and read a comic anymore. And, and it's sad because, for all the reasons that you just, that you just said, you do have more, I think, a more creative mind, when you read. And it doesn't have to just be comic books when you read anything, because you have to use your imagination more. When you're watching TV or playing a video game, the images are thrown at you. You don't have to imagine it. It's great that there's a group like this. I think we need more groups like this out there. And it's funny how you mentioned Superman told you not to do drugs and that stuck with you. And he was more or less your moral compass, when you were a kid. And I think you need to go and tell the people at DC and Marvel this,
This is a touchy subject with me. I have sent an email to every major comic label out there.
Mm-hmm.
I've sent emails to almost every comic book. I've sent them to Diamond. I've sent them to all the major places, and nobody really cares. It's comic fans that support our nonprofit. I've basically gotten no support from Marvel, DC, Image. I've contacted each one of those multiple times, and I've gotten no support from them whatsoever. It's comic fans that if it wasn't for them, I would not be able to give books away. I was wanting to tell you something before I forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a guy that I've known my entire life, and his son was having problems in school with reading comprehension. Mm-hmm. And he was eight years old. So right. I think he was in the second grade. And his dad was like, his reading comprehension and stuff is just horrible. And the kid loves comic books. And he brought him over, and I downloaded this little chart that goes from A to Z.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit down with him, and I'm like, all right, we're going to do an exercise. And it was me and him and his dad. And his dad, I just told him to, go hang out somewhere. And I sit down, and I said, all right, name me a superhero that starts with the letter A. And he said, can I do villains? I'm like, yeah, you can do villains. I don't care. He's like, the Abomination. I'm like, okay, awesome. All right, give me a superhero or a villain that starts with B. He said, Batman. And we went all the way down to Z. Now, he had trouble coming up with one for Z, but I introduced him to Baron Zemo, so he had one for Z.
Right.
And, you know, his teacher said he was having all these problems with reading. And I sit him down, I'm like, really? Tell me, who's your favorite superhero? And he's like, Spider-Man. I'm like, what does Spider-Man start with? He said, an S. I said, what's Spider-Man's real name? He said, Peter Parker. I said, what does that start with? He said, a P. I said, what does Peter Parker do for a living? He said, he's a photographer. I said, there you go. Where's he located at? New York City. He knew everything about Spider-Man.
Right.
And it's all about finding things that children get into. Not all kids are into comics. But if you get a child who's into comic books and you designed a curriculum around that, their potential is just completely unlimited. I mean, they can, if you get something a child is interested in, if when I was a kid and I had literature in high school, if they would have handed me Watchmen, I could have wrote a paper on it, no problem. But I think I had to read The Red Badge of Courage, and I didn't like that book that much.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what I had to read. I do remember, it might have been either eighth grade or freshman year of high school, we got to pick, we could read a book and then write a paper on it. And I picked the, it was high school. Yeah, it was definitely freshman year of high school. And I picked Mark Twain's autobiography. Because I loved Mark Twain.
I do too. I'm a big fan of his as well.
And, I think that just grew out of, again, reading comics, and then I wanted to read other things. And I think I saw that was another thing my parents got me when I was spoiled in this sense. They used to have these, like, smaller books, and they were classics, and they would have pictures in them. It wasn't the classic illustrated comics, but it was something along those lines. And it was at a young reader level. And we had The Three Musketeers, Black Beauty, and Yankee and King Arthur's Court. So that was my introduction. Yeah.
I think I had some of those as well, because I think I had a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, like what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Because I wasn't familiar with, I remember Mr. Hyde from the Thor comic books and the Avengers.
Right.
And when I saw that, I wanted it, because I thought it was about, you know, that, which was, it was a wonderful story. I really liked it. But that, the whole reason I read that book is because I thought it was, you know, I was just a kid. I thought it was based on a comic book.
Yeah, but The funny thing about that is, what I was getting at is that's the one I remember, because that was what I liked. You know, that's what I cared about. I cared about Mark Twain, so I remember that book because I liked him and I read his autobiography. Where, yeah, if you like, if they said, you know, I could do The Watchmen or The Dark Knight Returns or any of those books, yeah, I would have remembered it.
Absolutely.
Right. So, I mean, and it's definitely a great way to connect with them. I love that story, you know. Can I use it on the pod? Oh, wait. Yeah. I mean, that's an amazing story. You know, fortunately, I guess, or unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, my son is, scary intelligent and has been reading since he was, about 6 or 7 years old. But I can't get him to sit down and read comics.
Do you have an iPad or a tablet of some kind?
No. I had one, but it broke. The screen cracked on it. And I just don't. I can't put the money out for another one. I just don't. You know, I can't bring myself to do that. But yeah, no. That's a way. That is one way to do it. Get some digital comics. He probably would do that.
I have the Marvel app. I've had it for as long as they come out with it. I don't know how long it's been available, but mm-hmm. I've had it since it first came out. And Marvel has a whole new line of children's comics now.
Right.
That they just added. It's like Share Your Universe, I believe they're called.
Okay.
And they are great comics. I know they're aimed at kids, but I've read every one of them, and I've enjoyed every single one of them.
Now, they're different than the Marvel Adventures series?
Yes, these, there's like one or two that's got the Avengers. The Captain America is really good. Fred Van Lenny, are you familiar with him?
Not sure.
I always try to give him, he's a writer for Marvel. He writes for all of them, I think. Mm-hmm. He might be Marvel exclusive now, but he sent me 25 signed comic books.
Wow.
A month ago. And I've been, you know, giving him a lot of plugs anytime I see something that he writes, because like, he really cares about children reading comics. Mm-hmm. And he has a Captain America story that was just really, really good. And the X-Men story is fantastic. It's Logan and Wolverine and Kitty Pryde. And it's Kitty Pryde's first adventure as an actual X-Man. And it's a really good story. But the digital comics, I love them. I go to bed every night with my iPad and sit down and read something. I've tried to get all of the comics that I read as a kid on there as soon as they're available. But they're, digital's a great way to get anybody reading comic books.
I have to try that. Yeah, have you tried the? Because what I'm thinking about doing is the, because I have like the Comicsology and I've bought issues here and there, again, to mention my co-host Ben, he signed up for the Unlimited one they have now.
Oh wow! Yeah, I haven't done that.
Yeah, I can't remember how much he said. It's a month. It's really reasonable. It might be like $10 a month, and then it's totally unlimited. Now he did say there are some gaps in the issues, and then if you go to the regular Marvel app, you can buy that issue individually. And
right.
Not really sure why, you know. Why it's like that? He didn't.
It could be probably has something to do with creator rights or something like that.
Right. He did notice. He said on a couple of them, it was from like the same month from 2012. It was a Spider-Man and a Wolverine and a Hulk. Like all three from that one particular month weren't available in the Unlimited, but were available to buy individually. Right. But yeah. So, but he said it's great. You know, it's a great way to, you know, go back in stories you've heard about that you haven't read. You know, you can just read them real quick. And
around the first of the year, Marvel did something where they put 600 first issues available,
right,
for free. And I went and downloaded as many as I could download, and I believe so many people did it. It shut their server down. I think I ended up getting about 300 of them. And I mean, it's everything from the original Spider-Man number one, all the classic Silver Age first issues, and then just about any first issue of any comic that you can think of that has come out in the last. I mean, any big comic, Deadpool number one, Thor number one, Captain America, Winter Soldier. I mean, everything, and all the Marvel Now one issues are on there for free, I believe.
Cool. Like I said, I'll probably, as soon as I get off of here, I'll be looking at it. But along those lines, something I always, whenever this topic of digital comes out, I always like to ask, you know, I mean, it's great, like you just said, for convenience to get people into it, like especially younger people. But in general, how do you feel about the format versus traditional comics?
Well, in the beginning, I hated it. I thought it was the comic book killer. I thought it was ridiculous. And as I've gotten older, I've tried to be more open-minded. I just did not like it. I just thought, why would anybody want to do that? And then I downloaded my first digital comic book. Funny story about how I got my first digital book. Are you familiar with Dan Slott?
Yes.
I was on Twitter one night when I heard spoilers about Peter Parker and Dr. Octopus.
Mm-hmm.
And it crushed me. I grew up with Peter Parker.
Right.
And when I found out what he was doing, I just thought that was horrible. It was the worst thing I'd ever heard in my life.
Right.
And I was just, I wasn't on my Comics for Kids account. I have my personal account, which is MP_Whitehead. My name's Michael Whitehead.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just killing him. And all of a sudden, I looked and I had a direct message, and it was from Dan Slott.
Wow.
And he was like, "Hey, asshole, how about you actually read the book before you crap all over it?" And I sent him one back. I'm like, "There's no way I'm paying, I think it was $5 for that issue." And he's like, "Here, here's a free code. Go check it out. Let me know what you think about it." And I read it, and it just blew my mind. I thought it was wonderful, and I wrote him an apology letter and sent it to him, and I've gotten every issue of Spider-Man since then. But that's how I got my first digital book. I downloaded that because Dan Slott sent me a free code for Spider-Man 698.
All right, so the secret is to complain about anything Dan Slott does.
Yeah, man, that man, he for every person that loves him, there's probably 10 that hate him. But he's one hell of a writer, in my opinion. And he sticks to what he believes in, and he had an idea, and I think it's some of the best Spider-Man ever. It rivals the first 25 issues of Spider-Man. It rivals anything that come out in the 80s or 90s, in my opinion. I love it.
Cool. I haven't read it yet.
It's fantastic, man.
I'm probably definitely still in the camp where you were before you read it.
You have to start with 690. The thing to do is to read Spider-Man 600. Mm-hmm. That's the first one you need to read. And then, well, you need to read all of Spider-Man.
Right.
But 698, it's just when that comic, I mean, at the end of it, I was just like, my chin was on the floor. And it's just a good story. Which Spider-Man's a property. He will always go back to being Peter Parker one day. So,
all right, that was going to be my next question. Do you think it's going to stick?
No, he will not stick. That's something that someone who really knows a lot about the comic book industry explained to me is these are not characters; they're properties, mm-hmm. and they always have to go back to their original state. Spider-Man will always be Peter Parker. They may give him a different name. He may die, but he will always come back because that character is owned by, I guess, Disney owns it now.
True.
But that character will always go back to who it originally was.
Yeah, you know, that's true. I mean, I never thought about it that way before, but that's very true. I mean, they killed off Superman. And then they brought him back. They broke Batman's back.
They killed Batman three years ago too. Yes.
They killed Steve Rogers.
Yep. Johnny Storm. He died. Mm-hmm. Marvel was killing off a major character every quarter there for a while.
Yes.
And they all. I mean, how many times has Thor died? Jean Grey's died. Oh man, how many times has she died? Totally agree with you.
Yeah, I think it's funny, other than characters who die within an origin story, where it's important to the character's development, you know, like Ben Parker or Batman's parents, the only other character I can think of that has ever been killed and stayed dead is Gwen Stacy.
Yeah. some of the most powerful comics I've ever read was those issues there. And that's a dilemma with me that I get all the time, because how do I decide which comics are suitable for kids?
Oh, there you go.
That's a good topic to talk mm-hmm. about, because different people feel different ways about it. I read about Gwen Stacy dying when I was probably 10 years old. I read, trying to think of an adult theme in a comic book that I read. Look, I mean, it was approved by the comic book code. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of professionals have told me, and which comic books don't have that code anymore. But if it's got a little code on there, you never have to worry about a backlash about it, because I mean that the federal government said that they created this code to say that this comic was suitable for all ages. So but comic books now don't have that.
Right.
What we try to do with, like, most of the comics that we get donated are not suitable for children. So I've just been stockpiling those up. I don't know. I'm thinking about donating them maybe to some jails or prisons, or sending them overseas to some troops, or
there you go.
Anybody. I don't turn anybody away. If someone contacts me and they want some comics and they're not able to get these comics for themselves, I'll send them books.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you hear about that. During World War One and World War Two, but World War Two, a lot of soldiers would read comic books, because they were easy to carry around, and sometimes they didn't care if they got beat up or not. And, it's something I think, you could probably continue today. Like you said,
Grant Morrison received his first comic book from a U.S. soldier.
Yeah, right. And, again, on Fat Man on Batman, we learned that.
I'm telling you, he should write us a check.
or prisons too. I mean, that's, I think, there might be some stigma in a prison. I don't know. I've never been in one. I hope not to ever have to be in one. But again, it's something like you said. I mean, some of these people probably are there because they didn't have things to take up their time when they were kids, and maybe they just need something for their idle hands, as it were.
Are you familiar with TED Talks?
No.
If you can download the app, it's TED Talks. It's basically, I really don't know how to explain it. It's a foundation for people, forward thinking people. It's about the future, and I love. They're very inspirational. If you ever get down and want to listen to something, TED Talks are amazing. I listened to one the other day, and it basically, Texas has, executes the most inmates. Mm-hmm. They have more people on death row, and they execute more people than any other state. Yeah. And this guy did a study of 10 factors that calculate into, people that were on death row. And his criteria was reached by like 95% of every person that was executed in the same state. They all come from the same background, the same economic background. They all had the same amount of education. Almost everything about their background was absolutely the same.
Hmm.
And a lot of that stuff factors in. People, you never know what people do till they're put in similar circumstances. A lot of people are products of their environment, and a lot of people mm-hmm. are able to, excel past, their environment to be able to achieve. I mean, that's the great thing about our country. We're the only people who has, how does that go? We're the only people who has something in writing. What is that? I sound like an idiot. It's something in writing. Prosperity and something is in the Constitution. Every American is every American can achieve their dreams, basically. Mm-hmm. is what it set out. It's in writing, and it's in the Constitution. It might even be in the Bill of Rights, I'm not for sure. But we're the only country that has that. Right. So, I have no problem with giving comics to people probably in jails or prison or stuff like that. And I've contacted a lot of libraries, and the libraries are just really not interested. They, you know, they, if you have hardcovers or something like that, they might really be interested in those. But as far as like loose floppy comic books, they're not interested in those.
I guess because they don't hold up as well. I could see that, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Plus, you know, yeah, kids would want to be checking them out, and it would be hard not to damage them. Yeah. They would have to figure out a way to laminate them.
Right.
Or something like that.
So, yeah, no, it's interesting, too, because it's funny. I've said this, too. You know, yeah, one of the things, you know, in Texas, right, most people on death row, but just in this country, you know, we have the most prisoners, I think, per capita than any other country. I mean, I understand we're also larger than a lot of other countries. But you don't hear a lot of stories of people getting out of prison and, you know, getting a new trade and getting out of that life. You know, you hear they go to prison, they get out, they go back with the same people, they get in trouble again, they go back in prison, you know, it becomes a way of life. And, you know, we need to really, you know, prison is supposed to be for rehabilitation, you know, let's put that back into the idea, you know, and like I said, maybe donating comics is a way to get it started. I don't know how many prisoners would read them, but if you can get one or two, you know, it's a win, right?
Absolutely. Anytime you can get someone to do anything positive is great. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, comics can be pretty negative, but they're not to me. I love a good story. If you would have told me 3 or 4 years ago that I would read The Walking Dead, I would tell you you were crazy. Because I don't like horror movies. I don't like to be scared. And I never have been a fan of zombies, but The Walking Dead, in my opinion, is one of the greatest comic books ever. And I'll read it until they quit making it.
Yeah, I remember when it came out, and just I kind of felt the same way. Like, ooh, it's a horror comic book, but it was like, it's not really. I mean, it is.
No, yeah, it's not. It's survival. Yeah, it's. I mean, it's. It's amazing.
It's a survivor story, is really what it is, you know. And it's a well written survivor story, you know.
It reminds me of the little serials that I used to watch that would come on Sundays, they used to be like what they would show before movies back probably in the 50s or 60s, and which they all ended on a cliffhanger, which would make you come back. Mm-hmm. And the stories are never finished in The Walking Dead. I can't remember the last time, you know, an issue ended without, oh my God, what's going to happen next week?
Right.
And so, I mean, that I think that's one of the things that keep people coming back. I mean, it's just a great story, and there's really no difference between the way I was brought up and the way that Robert Kirkman was brought up. I mean, he's just a dude, you know, just like me, except he was from Kentucky and I'm from Mississippi. So.
Cool. Well, we're at a little over an hour now. So, you know, just to wrap up again, people definitely can reach you on Twitter, which is...
It's Comics4Kid with the number 4. Right. C-O-M-I-C-S 4_kids. The best way to find us is our website, which is thecomicsforkids.org, and it's F-O-R. I wish when I had started all this, I would have kept the same thing, but I didn't realize Comics for Kids was going to be so hard to get domain names and stuff. So... the best way to reach us is our website, and it's got all of our information. It's got our Facebook page, it's got our Twitter information, and it's got a donate button to PayPal.
Cool. And to all of the artists and writers who are listening to this podcast, because I know some of you do listen to this, check these guys out and help them out. You know,
Can I add one more thing before? Mm-hmm. We're doing our Super Summer comic book drive. We've got a lot of prizes that we're going to be giving away. The grand prize that we have is an actual page from Sweet Tooth, Jeff Lemire's comic. He donated us an actual page. I believe it's from Sweet Tooth issue 2. He donated us a page of that. Katie Cook has sent us several sketch cards that she did. I'm trying to think. We've got a lot of vintage comics. We have a first appearance of Deadpool we're going to be giving away. Mm-hmm. We've got a Boeing bust of Deadpool that we're going to be giving away.
Ooh.
We've got some really, really nice stuff. We've got a couple of DC Absolute editions. We've got a couple of Marvel omnibuses that we've been donated. And basically, here's how to win. For every dollar you send, you get one ticket, and we're just going to put like a person's name in the thing, and we're going to draw them out. For every comic book you donate, you get a point. For every hardcover you donate, you get 10 points. Trades are worth 5 points. And I keep up with everything. Right now, the top person has got about 200 points. I think that's right. Between 200 and 225 points.
Okay.
But that's how many chances that they have that's in there. So we're going to be giving away a lot of stuff, and we've got a lot of prizes.
Cool. Yeah, everyone should check that out. When does it start?
It actually started 2 months ago, and I'm actually thinking about extending it. It's over at the end of August, but I'm thinking about extending it another month because I'm having a lot of people contact me that is wanting to send stuff that is just now finding out about it.
Okay.
Our website didn't get up to the beginning of last month, so we had a whole month without the website up, so people would be able to get information about it.
All right. So yeah, definitely. Anyone listening, you know, if you, you know, donate a couple bucks or send a couple old comics, you know, I know there's some of you out there that probably have duplicates, you know, if you're worried about your collection, come on, you know, you have one or two extras of something you can send out.
Absolutely. Kids love 90s comic books. Kids love Image. They love Valiant. They love all that stuff people complain about having tons of. Condition does not matter to a child. They don't care if it's ripped, bent.
Mm-hmm.
They don't collect them yet. They're just getting into it. They just want to read them. So it does not matter any condition that they're in. We will accept them. And we accept any comic. It doesn't matter if it's for kids, if it's for mature audiences, whatever. Send it on, and we will eventually find a good home for it.
Cool. And what was I was going to say something. My mind just went blank. Okay. So anyway, yes. And, you know, people should go and like your Facebook page too. Check follow you on Twitter.
Facebook.com/comics for kids with a FOR. Right. I think we're nine likes away from 1,000 likes on there.
There you go, people. 9 likes away. You could be the thousandth like. That, you know, come on. Maybe he'll give you something for that.
I give away stuff all the time. You gotta reach out to your own. People have been really, really good to me about sending me stuff. Artists have sent stuff personalized to me that I keep put up in my office, and it's anytime you're doing stuff to help children, people always want to help out. So anytime you're doing something good, good things happen to you.
All right. Cool. So, Michael, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, man. I really appreciate this. Anytime your co-host drop out on you, let me know. I get on here and we'll talk about whatever. I love talking about comics, man.
All right. And as always, to everyone listening, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.
Hey everyone, you just listened to an episode of Superhero Speak. This is Dave. You can reach me at dave@superheroespeak.com. Also, if you're listening to this through the website, did you know you can go to iTunes and subscribe to it? So, check us out there.
And this is Ben from Superhero Speak, which you can reach at ben@superheroespeak.com. And as you know, you can also follow us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/superheroespeak.
This is John, and you can reach me at john@superheroespeak.com, and if you want, there's our Twitter account, @superheroespeak.
All right. Thanks, and check us out at those spots.
All right.